Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 23, and we'll start with text 52. The chapter is entitled Devahuti's Lamentation, and the scene, the setting, is after living together, husband and wife, in the forest in Satya Yuga for tens of thousands of years, serving together the Supreme Lord in the various ways that Karnamuni was doing. He recognized her desire to have children, and so he made arrangements. He didn't go build a house, he just thought a thought by his mystic power. Flying city was manifest with parks and lakes and palaces and opulence and 1,000 lady maid servants to attend to every need of Devahuti. Quite a contrast from living in the forest. She was decorated and made beautiful and so forth. And then for a long time they traveled literally throughout the universe. It describes the places this flying city went. In other words, he had powers quite extraordinary. Manifest beings with 1,000 maid servants. Who can do that? And Narada Muni, he required a Veena, but Narada Muni didn't even need a Veena. He just, at will, like the Pushpaka Vimana that Ravana had captured. Just at will, it just arrived and went just by mental thought. So they went all over the universe, literally, here and there, upper regions, even beyond the heavenly regions. And they did that for quite a long time. And then he returned to his hermitage. She came, children were produced. Very interesting way in which the children were produced, which included 9 daughters were born at once in a fully matured state. And so the scene is Karnava Muni is preparing to leave. And he didn't say, I'm out of here. He just was preparing to leave in this internal way. And she could understand, my dear husband is going to leave. And so she's expressing her fear. And that's the whole topic. Where does fear come from? And how can somebody as exalted as Devahuti, who according to Lord Vishnu, before they were married, she's as qualified as he is, and she is as qualified as he is, but she was feeling, by the Lord's arrangement at least, this feeling of fear. Fear arises, long discussion from previous verses, but it arises from attachment to something other than the Supreme Lord. So she is feeling fear. What's going to happen? the uncertainty of the future, and the feelings of impending separation, another feeling besides fear. So strong feelings are expressed to Kardama. As you've given me everything, please give me fearlessness. Mm. And fearlessness comes from attachment to the Supreme. Fearlessness comes in that way. So she's already attached to, as she's going to say in two more verses, text 54, where attachment to Kardama Muni is the source of her fearlessness. Because he's attached to the Supreme Lord, she'll become attached to the Supreme Lord by her attachment to him. So she's expressing, just in now in summary, these verses we're going to read, the nine daughters that are our children, you fulfilled that desire, but soon daughters go away. They take shelter of some husband, and then I won't have them present. And you're going to go away too. And then what am I going to do? Where's my shelter? Then the conclusion, 54, is that my attachment for you results in the fearlessness that I'm looking for. Okay, so read 52. 53, 54. My dear Brahmana, there's a little formality in her address because she's going to make this request. As far as your daughters are concerned, they will find their own suitable husbands and go away to their respective homes. But who will give me solace after your departure as a sannyasi? Purport. It is said that the father himself becomes the son in another form. The son is the representative of the father. The father and son are therefore considered to be non-different. The widow who has her son is actually not a widow because she has the representative of her husband. Similarly, Devahuti is indirectly asking Kardama Muni to leave a representative so that in his absence she might be relieved of her anxieties by a suitable son. A householder is not expected to remain at home for all his days after getting his sons and daughters married. A householder can retire from household life, leaving his wife in the charge of the grown-up sons. That is the social convention of the Vedic system. Devahuti is indirectly asking that in his absence from home, there be at least one male child to give her relief from her anxieties. This relief means spiritual instruction. Relief does not mean material comforts. Material comforts will end with the end of the body. The spiritual instruction will not end, semicolon. It will go on with the spirit soul. Instruction in spiritual advancement is necessary, but without having a worthy son, how could Devahuti advance in spiritual knowledge? It is the duty of the husband to liquidate his debt to his wife. The wife gives her sincere service to the husband and he becomes indebted to her because we cannot accept service from his subordinate without giving him something in exchange. The spiritual master cannot accept service from a disciple without awarding him spiritual instruction. That is the reciprocation of love and duty. Thus Devahuti reminds her husband Kardama Muni that she has rendered him faithful service, even considering the situation on the basis of liquidating his debt towards his wife, he must give a male child before he leaves. Indirectly, Devahuti requests her husband to remain at home a few more days, or at least until a male child is born. Now this is all, it's cultural, but it's also transcendental, because it was foretold by Lord Vishnu that he would appear as the son of Harvan and Devahuti. So this is preparing for that. Text 53. Until now, we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification, neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Now, that's not exactly how they spent their time together, but she's speaking this way. Purport. Human life is not meant to be wasted like that of the animals in sense gratificatory activities. Animals always engage in sense gratification, eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating, but that is not the engagement of the human being, although, because of the material body, there is need of sense gratification according to the regulative principle. So, in effect, Devahuti said to her husband, quote, so far we have these daughters and we have enjoyed material life in the aerial mansion, traveling all over the universe. These boons have come by your grace, but they have all been for sense gratification. Now there must be something for my spiritual advancement. It's interesting. He does so much for her spiritual advancement, but she wants a son. Text 54. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. There she goes again. She wants fearlessness. Abhayaya. Abhayaya. And the affinity, and the word for word is sajantya. So attachment or affinity for a person like Kardama is spiritual affinity, although she's indicating there's been a mix here, because it wasn't fully understanding and appreciating who you are. So part of the affinity was on the material side. But even that affinity can lead to this condition of fearlessness, that is attachment to Lord Vishnu. Purport. Devahuti is lamenting her position. That's the title of the chapter, Devahuti's Lamentation. As a woman, she had to love someone. Somehow or other, she came to love Kardama Muni. But without knowing of his spiritual advancement, Kardama Muni could understand Devahuti's heart, semicolon. Generally, all women desire material enjoyment. They are called less intelligent because they are mostly prone to material enjoyment. Devahuti laments because her husband had given her the best kind of material enjoyment, but she did not know that he was so advanced in spiritual realization. Her plea was that even though she did not know the glories of her great husband, because she had taken shelter of him, she must be delivered from material entanglement. Association with a great personality is most important. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says that sadhu sangha, the association of a great saintly person, is very important, because even if one is not advanced in knowledge, simply by association with a great saintly person, one can immediately make considerable advancement in spiritual life. As a woman, as an ordinary wife, Devahuti became attached to Kardama Muni in order to satisfy her sense enjoyment and other material necessities. But actually, she associated with a great personality. Now she understood this and she wanted to utilize the advantage of the association of her great husband. Sometimes we find in the Bhagavatam that seemingly contradictory statements are made on the one hand and then on the other hand, and how do we sort all that out? For example, Lord Vishnu said, he said, can't be wrong, that Devahuti was as qualified as her husband. And she was as qualified as her husband. So that's not in question. On the other hand, here we're finding her statement, and Prabhupada summarizing it in this purport, that she saw her husband as a repository place for fulfilling material desire. And didn't properly understand the qualification of her husband. We'll go back. And she selected her husband based upon the explanation given by Narada of his spiritual qualification. Just hearing from Narada, she wanted to marry. She told her father, I want to marry Kardama. And so the arrangement was made because of her appreciation of his spiritual qualification. She may not have understood the depth of his spiritual qualification, but after living together for tens of thousands of years, she must have come to understand that. On the other hand, she's speaking as if she didn't understand that. And, which is it? For the sake of, there's multiple ways to look at this. One of them is, she has a kind of humility that exalted persons of her status have. And that in itself seems to be contradictory. When someone is so qualified and they speak of themselves as the opposite, what do you make of that? It's not cosmetic. They actually feel that way. Not qualified. And that's part of their qualification. It's a core teaching of bhakti. That the doorway, just like we came through this door, maybe some came through that door, but mostly probably came through this door. Mm-hmm. The doorway into the house of bhakti, or the realm of bhakti, is humility. Without humility, you can't enter. You can do behaviors, but you can't enter into the house of bhakti. And as one goes further on the path of bhakti, that humility gets refined and purified and deeper and unmixed with the material kind of humility. So profound humility. It's a hallmark of the elevated personality, spiritually elevated personality. So one can understand what she's saying that way. One can understand what she's saying in another way. It's part of the plan of the Lord to appear as her son, so she's speaking in this way, so that the Lord can appear as her son. It's another way to look at it. And another is, she's helping us to understand how we should conduct our lives. This comes up later. A passage I like very much, where she's expressing after Kapila Deva is born and Kardama Muni does leave, she expresses herself to Kapila Dev, that in language that describes yourself as being an attached materialist. She doesn't use that language, but I have knowledge of why my mind is bewildered. My mind is bewildered because I'm attached to the temporary, and the temporary just went away, and now I'm bewildered. My intelligence is disturbed. I can't think straight. I'm in Maya. Please remove my Maya. It's your Maya. Your Lord Vishnu. Please remove your Maya so I can be free from this disturbed condition. And hearing this, Kapila Dev, or Vishwanath says, he smiles, thinking, why are you speaking this way? You're my mother. You're a perfect person. I wouldn't appear as your son if it wasn't otherwise. I know why you're speaking this way, for the benefit of others. Now, there aren't many others. It's just Kapila Dev and Devahuti. There's no MP3 recorder or anything. It's just, but Vyasa Dev gives us the whole conversation for the benefit of others. So a great personality may speak as Devahuti is speaking for the benefit of others, induced by the Supreme Lord, just like Arjuna became bewildered. I don't know what is my duty. How could Arjuna not know what is his duty? But he was in that position by the Lord's arrangement. So one can understand it in that way also. There's cultural instructions in all of this. The duties of the wife to the husband, the duties of the husband to the wife, the real meaning of protection, the real meaning of protection from the husband to the wife. Not just he goes to the gym and works out and has strong arms. If somebody comes in, he can punch somebody, try to harm his wife, protect him, or keeps it gone, something. Certainly protection from physical harm, but the greater protection is spiritual instruction. And spiritual instruction can be given by a qualified person who has spiritual credit. There's where protection comes, and an intelligent wife understands that, an intelligent husband understands that, and a spiritually progressive family understands that, and they live their lives accordingly, to both impart and receive. Now, there's certainly circumstances in life where the wife is more spiritually inclined than the husband. Here Prabhupada is speaking in the opposite. Generally speaking, something the opposite. Real life is, there's lots of situations where the husband is less spiritually inclined, the wife is more spiritually inclined, and even cases where the children are more spiritually inclined, and they carry the parents. So, it's a little topsy-turvy that Prabhupada is speaking in our present day, but the general principle is being expressed. And she recognizes her position as being dependent upon her qualified husband for that protection of spiritual instruction. And so she's not explicitly saying, I want a son, but Prabhupada is helping us understand through the purport what she's saying indirectly. She wants protection, and she knows how that can come. It comes from the protection of spiritual instruction. So the message for us is, that's protection. It's protection provided we take shelter of the instruction. And taking shelter of the instruction is that we live by it. Just reading, I don't know, Bhakti Lok Thakur or Bhakti Siddhanta. Gratitude is best shown not by words, but by fulfilling the gift that has been given by living with life that way. It's something similar to what Prabhupada said about Mahatma Gandhi. You may know he was a Gandhi follower before he met Bhaktisiddhanta. He was a prominent Gandhi follower. And at the time of Gandhi's funeral, he expressed in a public address, and then there's a paper that goes with it, the way to honor a great person is not just you build a statue or name a building or name a street after that great person or an airport. We have airports then. So, but to create a sangha, create a community of persons that live their lives by the instruction of that great person. You apply that which you have received that you're feeling grateful for. That's the best way to show gratitude, by your action. It means saying thank you. That's nice. And beyond thank you, you conduct your life and assist others in conducting their lives accordingly. That's gratitude, an expression, a life of gratitude from having received something. So she has received instruction. And in fact, when Karan Muni, then Kapila Dev leaves, that's how she's protected after Kapila Dev leaves, is the instructions of Kapila Dev. Even after the departure of our founder Acharya or one's spiritual master or one's husband or whatever it is that the source of instruction, one can be protected by the instruction. It's nice to have the physical presence of an instructor, and circumstances may not work like that for various reasons. The husband may die early or something may happen. So the shelter is through instructions, even in the physical presence. The real shelter is that method. So Devahuti is instructing through her question. In a number of ways, cultural ways, spiritual protection ways. She's exhibiting, because the title of the chapter, this verse specifically, is she's feeling lamentation. She's feeling the feeling of lamentation. But there's transcendental lamentation and there's mundane. Transcendental lamentation is feelings of separation from a great person who you have become attached to. In a little while, just as a for example of this, Mahavishnu, no, Krishna Das Swami, who's a spiritual master who recently, 1 year ago, departed in Vrindavan, departed this world. It's 1 year since that happened almost, and his disciples are having this, the first event, annual event of expressing their feelings of gratitude and separation. And annually in our ISKCON calendar, the departure of Guru Govinda Maharaj, who departed this world in Mayapur, literally during our GBC meeting one evening, he left his body in his room. So his disciples and ISKCON followers have an annual event, or Bhakti Surat Damodar, and so on and so on. So remembering the instructions, it's very similar to Krishna's departure found in Canto 1, where Arjuna is recounting to Yudhisthira his feelings of separation after Krishna departed. And in his expression, as he's remembering the kindness that Krishna offered, he also, where his solace finally comes, as he remembers the instructions that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita. And then light goes on and he realizes Krishna made his association available even after his departure through his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And it's true. One can feel that shelter in that way. And then what she's asking for is fearlessness. Now she's asking for it in a particular form. But even that particular form, which will be fulfilled because it was the desire of the Supreme Lord. When Kapila Dev leaves, after Kardamuni leaves, she's left with instructions. And she achieved perfection. The conclusion of this canto, it's very detailed, step by step by step. But of course, she goes back to Godhead because she has no other affinity remaining. And that becomes possible through the association, Sadhu Sangha, through the instructions of Sadhu Sangha. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to make this end with this. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to make his final trip to the West, which he didn't get to complete because he had a medical problem and had to go back. He reached as far as London. But there were reasons that he gave why he wanted to go. And one was to once again give association to his disciples, faithful, loving disciples. Because feeling the physical presence, in the physical presence of a spiritual master, hearing instructions and his love and support and so forth, it's uplifting. He wanted to do that. He knew that that would be helpful for his young Western disciples. But it didn't happen. And so there's a number of his faithful, loving disciples that are continuing simply on the Bani and not the Vapu. But if at great risk of his life, he made the attempt to give both. And receiving both is nice. But of the two, the Bani is most important. And then one can be protected in progressive spiritual. So sadhu sangha can be available that way. That's why there's such emphasis on distribution of books, because Prabhupada is giving his association through his books. Tell a little story. Somebody just sent me an email that they had just completed reading one of the biographies of Srila Prabhupada, and I think it was Jamuna's. It was about her, but her relationship with Prabhupada. And the person that read it had the next three nights after they completed the book, they had dreams of Srila Prabhupada coming and instructing them. They'd never met Prabhupada, but just reading about him. Then there was another South Indian couple, Sri Vaishnavas, now practicing Sri Vaishnavas, but they hadn't been practicing for reasons that they didn't have Sadhu Sangha proximate. Now they're with Sadhu Sangha. So ISKCON, they're practicing Sri Vaishnavas. But at a certain point in time, I recommended that they chant. They were chanting 16 rounds. And then I recommended that they read the wife, particularly. She had more time because her husband was off working. To read Lilamrita. The very day that she finished Lilamrita, she told me this later, that night she had a dream. And Prabhupada appeared in the dream and walked right up to her, and she immediately could recognize from the pictures she had seen of Prabhupada. And he stated three questions that she had had since childhood as a little girl, and gave her the answers. Question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. Smiled, turned, and departed. And she woke up. And then she shared with me that my whole life I've gone to different acharyas and sadhus and people with these questions, never found satisfying answers. And with that experience, she could understand the merciful nature of Srila Prabhupada just by reading about his life, that he entered into hers in reciprocation. Imagine. So, our founder Acharya is very merciful, as is Krishna. Very powerful as well as merciful, as is Krishna, and can act as an agent of the Supreme Lord to lift us. So sadhu sangha is available, point being. Sadhu sangha is available in these transcendental literatures if one just avails oneself to that sound vibration. Even if it's in the beginning, it's curiosity or I want knowledge or some other thing, then I want my relationship with Krishna again. Because gradually that awakening of bhakti comes from sadhu sangha up to the stage of perfection. Right? Okay. Any comments or questions?
Questions,
did
they say one of those three?
No. I didn't ask either. I could put you in touch with the lady and she can tell you. I'm sure she remembers. She may not remember exactly the answer, but I'm sure she knows the questions. Fearlessness.
Fear by serving, by attached, being attached to Lord Vishnu. So my question is, Maharaj, in my spiritual progress, but the greatest fear I have is losing the relationships with devotees. That's my greatest fear. So is it something good fear to have?
Yes.
Or how?
Yeah. How?
sometimes.
What's your question?
My question is, I find it difficult to express some difficulty that I'm facing because of the fear of losing the relationship.
Well, then you're underestimating the power of Vaishnava. Vaishnava is your point. Why do you afraid?
No, in the story Maharaj mentioned that Narada did not get Veena from Kardama Muni. What is
no, that? No, but in Narada's appearance during this day of Brahma, he can travel everywhere by playing on his Veena, singing names of the Lord or praises of the Lord. Kardama Muni didn't require Veena. Kardama Muni just desired and off he went in this aerial mansion. It's just he's very powerful. He's exalted, unimaginably powerful. Supreme Lord. I mean, devotee of the Supreme Lord. But not equal to the Supreme Lord. Not equal to the Supreme Lord. He can construct an aerial mansion and the Lord can construct anything that exists. But devotees can exhibit extraordinary power. That was, you know, in comparison to Narada, very special. That was the point. Yes?
Raj, Narada, day-to-day world. The fear normally drives us to do certain things, seek a better job, get a better house because I'm afraid of my basic needs, whatever the case may be. Even though I'm trying to get in this path of devotional service.
Mm.
Sometimes I tell myself, you know what, I'm just a neophyte. Once I get progress on the path of devotion, I'll get better at this and stop relying on these things. Now on one side it seems like I'm trying to be it's like almost like a sign of humility, saying that, okay, I'm just a neophyte, so it's literally okay. But on the other side, I'm also, it's like a slippery slope on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
So how do I reconcile these two aspects?
Well, we had a whole seminar in Gita on this topic. It's acceptance and progress. Remember that one?
Yeah.
So the answer is in that, all those topics on that theme. The reality is, the better job, better house doesn't provide security. Better job, better house, in a flash, it's gone. Or, you know, the slippery slope. It's ephemeral. That's reality. And the other is, so taking shelter in the temporary, that's going to bring me security and thus fearlessness, is Maya. It's affinity for Maya. Now, the reality is, acceptance is, that's my position. I'm not such an advanced devotee. But if one rationalizes and says, well, I'm not such an advanced devotee, so I'm going to work on this platform. The advice, the advocacy of Krishna to Uddhava on this point is a devotee, like the one that you just described, like yourself, but generically a devotee that's in that position, there's this acknowledgement of their position, and there's also the acknowledgement by taking a position, I'm inviting misery. But that's my position. So when regrets, I want to move from that position, the hankering, and on the strength of hankering, one takes another step, recognizing I'm going to act on this platform. I'm, despite my better intelligence because of my affinity for matter. Then one can be progressive. It doesn't mean the slope isn't slippery anymore, because that, you know, the house of cards can easily fall, just a little wind. And that more secure job or the better house or whatever it is, poof. It happens. Just like, you know, death happens. It's certain. So whatever arrangements we make to protect ourselves and our dependence from death, death can come. It's inevitable. The temporary is temporary. It's inevitable. So the wise don't take shelter. It's a core instruction of Bhagavad Gita from the very beginning. Nasate vidite bhavo na bhavo vidite sataha. There's sat and there's asat. And you have bhava for the asat, and it's a fool's errand. So it's the acknowledgement and then the progress. Let me transfer that attachment from the temporary to the eternal. But in a measure that I can sustain according to my view of life. So don't be complacent. The point is, don't be complacent and rationalize it's okay because that's my position. It's not okay. Although it is my position, let me move. I accept it's my position, let me move towards the light. And as you move towards the light, things become clearer, and so forth. And just keep moving, step by step. Don't compare yourself with others, you're not competing with others, you're who you are. And you make progress towards the light. And then, meanwhile, you suffer with the struggle of taking shelter of the temporary.
Discover our relationship with God,
yes,
and live by the instructions.
Yes.
Do we stop there, or we try to motivate our, at least our close knit, like our family members, to get involved a little more? Like typically, people are you go to the temple, they pray, they'll come back after that, they forget,
right,
until the next time you have a festival.
Yes.
So how is it our responsibility to motivate?
That's Krishna Adhikari mentality.
So how do we motivate them, or we leave them the way they are? Will they someday see us and then get motivated automatically?
Those persons whom you're close to, the answer is similar to the answer I gave him. It's just now it extends to others. And how it extends to others is you acknowledge and then progress. But you encourage to make progress in a measurable, sustainable fashion. Whatever that is that they can say yes to, not just because you're asking them, but because it makes sense and that's something they can do. How you extend care to others, those that are close to you and those that are distant. And those that are distant can become close to you. You make friendships with persons that may be, you know, today distant, and they become close to you because you can see here's a person that wants to move. But encourage that person to move in a way that's sustainable according to their where they are. And where they are today may be different than tomorrow. So, but where they are today, you encourage. So don't just let the process do its magic, but you're part of the process. You're an instrument of Krishna, and you act as an instrument of Krishna. Now, some people, it's unique, but some people need a little shaking. And that can be an act of kindness too. It doesn't have to be harsh, It can be purposeful, you know, but a little startling for the person. But, you know, that takes some skill and some spiritual qualification to be able to do that, where the person then doesn't just break the relationship. You cross the line, forget it. We don't want to do that. But sometimes, depending upon the relationship. Yes.
Kardamamuni is highly realized, spiritually elevated.
Yes.
He went with the desire to find a suitable woman for marriage, wishing the Lord Vishnu. Mm-hmm. I also read the purport from Prabhupada, but I did not completely understand that even though some are spiritually elevated and even saw Lord face to face, still they could not give up the material desires. He expressed that statement, but I could not follow that.
Well, I think I addressed it in terms of how Devahuti was seeing herself. She is eminently qualified, but eminently qualified persons sometimes see themselves as not qualified. That's part of the qualification.
Yeah, but the desire is still there.
Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, for Kardamuni, maybe, maybe not. He was, you know, not an ordinary devotee, not an ordinary mystic. You know, all the opulences of the personality of Godhead were partially manifest in him, including renunciation. So, not an ordinary. So he can speak of himself, and you can say, well, that shows he still had material desire. You know, one could make an argument either way. He had no material desire. To have, when Lord Vishnu came before he was married and said, I will appear as your son because you have that vatsalya parental affection towards me, I'll appear as your son, but for that you need to require a wife. So that looked like material desire. But it's just a practical arrangement because Devahuti was similarly qualified, so she would also have Lord Vishnu as her son. I'm inclined to say he was speaking of himself in that way, rather than he had material desire. But one can argue the other side. It's something a little bit like, this is, you know, from previous verses, Arjuna. A or B. Arjuna was in the mode of passion. Or B. Arjuna was a transcendentalist, fully attached to Krishna, who engaged the mode of passion in order to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. Because without being angry, you can't fight to death. You can't. So Krishna, Prabhupada says, Krishna was inciting Arjuna to anger. Not just duty, okay, I'll do my duty and go fight. But, you know, you have a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. And what I have a question, I have a comment actually. Today during your explanation, I understand that Prabhupada comes and dreams. And from that, what I was watching videos about him, I have great respect, like how he serviced and how he formed his gun and everything. I was thinking that I didn't get a chance to see him, or I miss his association.
Looking at the video machine over here?
No, I'm seeing him.
Oh, I see his picture.
Yeah. So when you are explaining about, like, it comes to people dream and he's really living by his instruction, and we can still take his association. So that is so inspiring for me. So I feel like he's still there, so we can take association.
Yeah. The comment and your comment, and we're going to end it. The comment and your comment is, this is the association he wanted to provide. And there was a particular devotee who had regular dreams when Prabhupada was giving instructions in his dreams. And it became, he started publicizing Prabhupada's instruction, this, that, and the other thing. And Prabhupada then commented that when the spiritual master, he put it, you know, third person, when the spiritual master appears in your dream, you can take it that this is some special mercy. But don't take the instructions that you receive in a dream in a literal sense. This is the literal. And those are the instructions to go by. And something else, you know, how people ask, how do I understand da-da-da-da-da in my dream? And my answer is, just take it the way Prabhupada says. You get, there's some special mercy. And don't try to sort out, what does this mean? Am I to change my life or mold my life according to some dream? Not necessarily. Some mercy is coming. For sure. Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah.